At this time, we'll ask Brother Gary Johnson from Kalispell Ecclesia to ask the opening prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth even as it is in heaven. Father, we thank thee so much for having the opportunity of coming to this convention, being in the heart of your country, seeing all the beauty around us, and being able to apply so many things to thy creation in our mind's eye. We thank thee especially for the loved ones that have joined your family today, and that you would strengthen their hearts and guide them every step of the way as they go through the narrow way. We thank thee for the appreciation we have of thy whole creation, for all the blessings you've willed us to have, for our loved ones, and for thy sheltering wing, that we pray that we would have the strength to step out from underneath it when it's important to stand up for thee. We ask that you would forgive us for our shortcomings and help us to realize the times that we do fall short and to do better the next time. Help us through our daily lives in play and in work, and help us to remember thee at all times in an attitude of prayer. And as any are traveling home tonight, guide them safely, if it be thy will, to their homes. And help us to strengthen our hearts that we might grow closer to thy Son, to his likeness. We ask all this and ask that you would now bless our hearts and minds, that we might be filled from this echo meeting and be able to tell one another what we've appreciated about this convention. We ask all this in my dear Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
On the program, I believe you have Brother Harp, but I'm not Brother Harp, so I'm going to fill in for him because he had other duties. It's also called a testimony meeting, and it will be that, but combined along with, or pardon me, not testimony, but a echo meeting. It will be a kind of a combination echo and testimony meeting. Throughout yesterday and today, I looked around and noticed that people were taking notes. And what I'd like to do, I'll call on a few people that I noticed that were taking notes, and if from your notes you have some opinions, ideas of what you got from a particular discourse, I'd appreciate if you wish and if you want to either sit or stand and give a little echo. And then after we've been through maybe 8 to 10, 11 people, then we'll just kind of open it up. And we do have a roving mic, so this will be strictly kind of a voluntary thing. I'm going to call a name, but if you'd rather not, that's strictly up to you. Sister Drobny. Surprise. Completely up to you, like I say, sister.
I was just starting to make notes from my notes. So, because usually my notes are 2 pages to 3 pages long, and I couldn't do that. So, but the one that I really am looking forward to when I get home to study and look up is Brother Michael Nicoras, because he talked real fast And I'm glad I have the tape and the notes in between the two. And then the other one was Brother Panucci. I appreciated him bringing us up on the stream of time. And I also appreciated all the character talks especially. And that's about all I can say. I wish you'd given me a little more time to look up and make short notes.
This is going to be strictly...
But others will. Okay, thank you, Brother Johnson.
This is going to be just off the cuff anyway.
Thank you.
A few sentences or you can go on and on. I'm told that we're supposed to close here by 1 o'clock at least, so we've got lots of time.
I'm happy to be here this year.
Thank you. The next one, I think I'll call on Sister Bruce. Well, whatever. If you have any thoughts, we'd appreciate them. If you're at a loss, we'll go on.
Well, I did appreciate Michael's talk because we have been studying the tabernacle, and some of the things that he brought out, we have just gone through, and some things are things we're about to study, and so that was very good. Each one of the talks were very good. I think my husband spanked me a little bit because some of the things he said really hit home to me. I had never heard this talk before, and I really felt that it was meant. I don't think he gave it for me, but I really felt it was for me because there were things in it that were certainly things that I have fallen short on. And each one of the talks has been very good. I've appreciated the surroundings. I'll tell you the truth. When I first came here, I thought, well, really, it's lots easier to be in a motel where you can just, you know, like the Outlaw Motel. But the longer I was here, the more I appreciated it. We did stay in a motel in town. There were several of us, and it worked out fine. But I do appreciate the efforts of all the classes, I think I'm going to enjoy it even more next year because I know what to expect and what to do next, you know, that kind of thing. And I do thank all the friends for their fellowship and their love, and I ask an interest in your prayers.
Thank you. I know what you mean by something you said because I found myself squirming in my seat a couple of times during some of the discourses, so I guess that must mean something. How about Sister Brandis?
Well, I didn't make any notes, brother.
Well, if you...
I think on Brother Gonzuski's last talk, which it wasn't because I didn't enjoy all the talks. And like Shirley, I enjoyed Michael's talk. I was surprised how much I got out of it, although I've been missing tabernacle studies, but I've been to enough of them that I didn't know what he was talking about this time. Having Brother David there is wonderful, you know, and we've gotten a better education in a lot of ways. But I enjoyed all these talks. The character talks, Brother Hartfive, he enjoyed immensely on this whole, ever since he's been here this time. I went to hear him at Spokane. Every time he gives a different talk, I don't know, he must be full of talks. And they're mostly on character development. And I always enjoyed those talks so much. Enjoyed Brother Panucci as usual. I just enjoyed the whole thing. And if we do come back to Kalispell, I for one would like to come back here. And I do appreciate the effort on behalf of this, especially this class here, because I feel that they've just put an extra effort, and all the brethren that made this possible. I ask an interest in your prayers.
Thank you, Sister. Even though the particular ecclesia here is small, I know in our own ecclesia, and it's larger, usually it seems that all the efforts that go into a convention, for one reason or another, fall on about three or four people. And people coming from out of town sometimes don't realize all the effort that goes into it, because I've seen a little of it, and it's quite an effort, and we appreciate it. How about Sister Wilcox?
Yeah, I'll get a message about that first.
Yes, of course.
My daughter Willa asked me to bring her love and her greetings and tell the friends that she would like very much to have been here herself. She's thinking of us, I know, through the convention. She's working and couldn't come. So far as notes, most of the notes I put on are just the references, as fast as I could make them and open the book and follow through. I guess it looked like I was checking them to see if they were reading correctly. I don't know. But they always stay in my mind better if I can manage to do that. But I think the strongest impression in my mind from the combination of the talks of the whole meeting was a feeling that we're closer to the end than maybe we realized. We realized the talks we've had, two or three of them, have brought us the feeling and showing us specifically from references and from the news of today put together that perhaps we're nearer the crux of the time of trouble than some of us had really realized, even though we've been reading and thinking about it. But it takes a talk or two sometimes to bring us quite close to thinking a little more carefully. I noticed that, as I've noticed in other conventions, it's so often that the brothers, without any consultation apparently before, seem to have a kind of certain theme that they line up.
Yes.
And that was what the impression I had from this, and I appreciated it. For me, it will help me to be on my toes just a little closer, a little more watchful of myself as well as of the world event. I do, like the others, I appreciate it. I can't say how much I appreciate the service of the friends here, the kindness of them. And this is my first experience in this particular area. And I met a number of the friends. I've been hearing their names, haven't known them. Of course, the trouble is, I'm poor on names, and I may go home and have their faces in mind and not be able to speak the name. If they'll bear with me, I'll try to remember who is who and why. Well, thank you all for being here with you.
Thank you, Sister. Sister Allen, do you have anything that you'd like to say?
This convention, I didn't take very many notes. I decided that maybe I was spending so much time and thought in my notes that I was missing the point of the talk. And I don't know. When I get home, I think I'm going to miss having the notes that I've had before. But I was really happy to hear Brother Nakora's talk on the two atonement days, and I want to really study that when I get home. Brother Little in our class in Boise had always advised everyone to read the Bible from start to finish, and he was going through it for the fifth or sixth time when he died, and he said that you would receive such a blessing from it. And so I had started out right after one of our conventions when Brother Little had told us this, and as I had gotten to these parts of the sacrifices, I had come upon these 2 days that I was sure were two different atonement days. And I didn't understand it at all. And I thought, well, I just don't understand the sacrifices at all. Now I have some background to study it with, and I'm anxious to look into that when I get home. And I did appreciate all of the talks. They were really, really a blessing. And I appreciate all of the brethren that have been here. I appreciate the class that's worked so hard to get these grounds ready for us. I understand that there was a lot of cleaning that had to be done before we could move in, and I think it's just been wonderful to have such a beautiful view of God's creation as the backdrop for this convention. Really appreciate it. I ask an interest in your prayers.
Thank you. Sister Johnson. I think we're the only Johnsons here.
If you don't mind, I'll just stay sitting so that I don't stand up and step on our granddaughter, who's playing with her paper dolls down there. First of all, I would like to echo what everyone else has said about this beautiful place to have a convention and about all the work that went into putting it on, because we got a chance to see some of what went on since we were here ahead of time, and there's a lot of work involved, especially to Terry right here that did a lot of cleaning up of the rooms that the brethren stayed in. They probably don't realize what shape those rooms would have been if Terry hadn't cleaned them. So I want to thank her for that too, even though I didn't stay in them. I also want to bring the love of the Sacramento class who voted to send it last Sunday. And the talk that I have chosen to remark on was Brother Gondzuski's Wait on the Lord, which really impressed me. I liked all the talks, of course, but this one I think I can read my notes better. It reminded me a little bit of a talk of Brother Holt's one time that was titled Don't Get in Front of the Lord's Gun. Does anyone remember that one? Well, you know what happens if you go out in the woods hunting with someone and you rush ahead to find something for yourself and he doesn't know that you're there, and maybe you're going to get shot. You're going to have some adverse effects of one kind or another if you get out in front of the person with the gun. And sometimes we do that with God. We rush ahead and do things or say things that maybe he's not ready for us to do yet. And so sometimes we do have to wait on him. And I swear I appreciated this, and I appreciated the story of the little girl that recognized her mother's voice. That was really very touching, and how he compared that to us hearing the voice of the Lord. That was so sweet. And then the way he brought in how Noah had to wait for the flood and be ridiculed for 7 days while he was waiting, and people were telling him that it was never going to rain. And Abraham waited for Isaac. And Moses had to wait for 40 years before he could come back to free his people. And then there was David that had to wait to become king when he had been anointed many years before. And I especially underlined the phrase, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. That really impressed me, how we should be compassionate toward anyone whom the Lord has called. And let's see, who else? Oh, I also underlined something that he said in regard to Joseph when he was in prison, that God meant it for good. And Joseph could go through 10 years in prison and all that happened to him and realize that whatever God permitted to happen was for his good. And we see that around us in the brethren so many times. We can't even understand it ourselves why God let something happen to someone else. But there's always a reason for it, and we know that it's going to work out ultimately. And then I didn't take many notes on the part where he said, told about those who refused to wait, what happened to them. But I thought that was very interesting too, how he brought that in. When the Israelites refused to wait for Moses when he came down out of the mountain, and they turned to idol worship, and they refused to wait for God so many times, and they had so many things happen to them because they didn't have the patience or the faith to wait on God. I just hope that I, for one, can have more patience, more compassion toward all of my brethren and toward everyone in the world, and I would ask an interest in your prayers and on our behalf.
Thank you, Sister. Sister Krupa, do you have anything that you'd like to say?
No.
Okay. Who said that? Well, right at this time, I'm going to throw it open, kind of a free-for-all. Just raise your hand if you would like to say anything. Stand or sit, and the mic will come to you. Raise your hand if you would like to say anything.
I didn't take any notes this time, but one thing that especially struck me in Brother Panucci's talk was how we are specially selected. Like, there may be millions of people in the world who don't have the truth for every one of us who does. And I've never really thought about that before, how we are specially selected, what a great privilege we have. Well, that's all I really wanted to say, but that really struck me.
That is a good feeling.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this, but the work that everyone keeps talking about, our Lord said that he washed his disciples' feet. And I've often wondered, how can we serve our brethren? We certainly can't wash their feet, and we do so little. The greatest privilege we had was what we did, because when we were making beds, we'd say, now this is for Alex and Joe, and I think that they would like these brown blankets. And then we'd go a little further and we'd say, now this is the brand that says, I think maybe they need an extra blanket because they might get cold. And this was not work. This was the greatest blessing the Lord ever gave us. And so many times we put on a convention, and the motel takes care of it, and the convention center takes care of it, and I don't really feel like we serve our brethren at all. But this was the most tremendous privilege. And if I could wash your feet, it wouldn't have been a greater privilege than what we did for you. And so it wasn't work. There was not one ounce of work in it, and we had such a good time doing it because each one of you were treated as individuals, because we love each one of you. We know your a little bit of your needs, and we tried to guess a little bit more of them. So just know that this wasn't work. This was a privilege, and we're just glad you came here to share it with us.
Thank you, sister. Who'll be next?
I know Mom just said it wasn't work, but
you getting that on tape?
All right, shut the recorders off. If anybody, like Al said, usually the majority of the work falls into a few hands, and in this case, me and Dad and Ben were working, so of course Mom was working too, but I didn't seem to make any difference. But we weren't home, so her mom and probably Lucille are the ones that really, you know, they organized it, and they're the ones that let us know what to do, you know, whenever they had to have help. And I really appreciate what they've done. And as far as the talks go, one thing I noticed about Alex, when he was here way back, one of the first conventions we had, he gave a talk about Abraham. And I've noticed most of his talks deal a lot with the Old Testament characters. And usually when he's done giving a talk, you feel like you know him personally a lot more than before. And, you know, they are probably, besides Jesus and the apostles, they're the best examples we have, and I really appreciate that. And then one of the first thoughts that I got at the convention, it wasn't even out of a talk, and I sort of combined it with the thought of the secret place that we live. Like, if you try to compare infinity, you know, endless number with 2,000, and see how it compares. And that is, there are 2,000 years out of eternity that we have the privilege to enter this secret place and know it. And we just happen to live in this 2,000 years. And then out of all the millions of people, we happen to be called. And, you know, it makes it so we cannot appreciate enough the privilege that we have. And then Brother David's talk kind of made me feel good inside a little bit to realize, you know, what I need to improve in. It made me feel bad a little bit knowing how I've been. But this convention has really been good for me because I needed to talk to a lot of brethren and help get things straight in my mind, and it couldn't have come at a better time in my life when I needed it more. And I appreciate everybody being here and the unity that I feel here.
Thank you, brother. Who will be next?
I'd like to bring the love of the Bremerton class and also of the Tacoma class. And also David and Jan sent their special love to everyone here. I think they would really have enjoyed this. They both love the outdoors, and what a more beautiful spot could there be for a convention. I got real busy on my notes when I heard what Al said at the beginning of the meeting, and I did get a little bit deciphered here. But Brother Nakora brought out, I thought, a very good point on about the wave offering. I hadn't really thought about it before, but he waved it until it was taken off his hands. He didn't wave it just for a minute or two or for any period of time, but it had to go until it was taken off his hands. And so with our consecration, we have to wave it, and it must continue until the Lord takes it off our hands. So it's really something to think about. Before I left work on Friday, my boss's wife wanted to know where I was going and, well, just what do you do there? So she had to know all about it, and I tried to tell her as best I could with someone who wouldn't understand anything about the truth. And although she's a Christian lady, she wanted to know about the finances and things like that, and I was trying to explain how it was with us. And some of the things, I kept on talking as long as she wanted to listen, and all of a sudden she said, "You have to give it all you've got, don't you?" And she said, "I don't think I could do that." And I said, "Yes, it is. It's all. This is what we do." So I kind of appreciated the fact that she was interested to that extent anyway, and even if she didn't think it was for her. I appreciate this convention so much, and I do love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Somebody in the front row.
I just said to someone yesterday that that I have found it very difficult to testify lately. And this is because some things have been going on in my life, and I just haven't been able to spit it out to people. And what I just realized is that the longer I wait, the harder it's going to get. This convention has been a real answer to prayer for me. I've had some very specific things answered, and also some things to go home and work on. Many things to go home and work on. And many of the talks were a great blessing to me. Excuse me. Sniff in the microphone. And many of my personal times with friends have meant a great deal to me also. And one of the thoughts that struck me, if I can get Roy to hold the microphone, excuse me, is that thought that Brother Harp talked about how our narrow way is like a game of marbles. And of course my ears perked up when I heard that, because I used to play marbles quite a bit. And what the phrase was is that our narrow way is a game for keeps. And I want to keep that in mind and realize that we don't get a second chance. And this is it. And I need to live my life right now as if my life depends on it. And also a scripture that was brought out in Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I have a note in my Bible that look up means to have courage, and that it is the complete opposite of gloom. And for me, lately, I seem to have put myself in a lot of gloom, and I get very upset when I am surrounded by gloom. And gloom creates more gloom and more gloom and more gloom, and we have an influence on each other that way. And what I want to strive to do is have more joy in my life, so that I might create more joy in others and more joy in others. And I had some other things on my mind and I just can't think of it right now, but my heart is very full. I love you all very much. Kohach, yeah. And I've appreciated getting to know Anna especially, and we all decided in the room last night that we'd all try to get over to Poland in 2 years and visit her. Well, I remember what I was going to say. I appreciated the public meeting very much too, and one of the things I appreciated was before, when Michael was setting up, he was talking to the fellow that was helping them. And he said, well, what is this? You know, what are you talking about? And Michael told him and said, well, how much are you going to charge? And Michael said, well, we don't charge anything. And he goes, well, why? He could not understand that. And Michael very nicely told him that they just felt that it was a type of tradition amongst us that we just don't charge, either at our churches or at our public meetings. And the guy said, I just don't understand that. Couldn't you at least charge just a dollar, I think it was? And I thought that was really a nice testimony for that one young man. And I'm sure the rest of the public appreciated it too. So I ask for a special interest in your prayers for me on a very specific level. I am looking for a job. And I would like to find one. And what? Yeah, that's right. Evelyn was praying that I wouldn't get a job so I could come to Kalispell. So I told her she was doing a lot better job than I was. So I appreciate all of you very much, and I appreciate these beautiful surroundings.
Thank you, and the Lord bless you. Got another hand right behind you.
Well, I guess I'm the last of the Mohicans. All of the Sandpoint Ecclesia has left, and I would like to thank the Kalispell friends. As you know, we are supposed to be helpers, and due to the proximity, we didn't get over, we didn't help, and we feel badly about it. Our apologies. We think Kalispell did a fine job. We've already decided to, excluding the millennium, that we'll be here next year. And I particularly liked Michael's talk again on the tabernacle, because we're in the tabernacle now and deeply involved in it, and we love it. In closing, I would like to ask Evelyn, when she was planning this, these rooms and such, Did you mean for us to get the one with the mouse?
As long as you had a trap to go with it.
I know we're rats, but
that's true. That's good. That's a good point.
He was friendly. No, we just love the site here, and we hope that that this location will be such a remembrance to the brethren that they will feel that next year that they would like to do it again for whatever reason. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Thank you, brother.
I just want to say a few words about the talks, and I enjoyed every one of them, and I've forgotten really the different little points that came out. Brother Harp had an awful lot to say that I really enjoyed, and of course the tabernacle is always a favorite of mine, and I want to ask Brother Nicora why they have so many sacrifices in the 9th chapter. They've got about 6 compared with the 3 in the 16th chapter. So I'll have to get back to him about that. So I was impressed too with what they said about Israel, that it was never dissolved. Was that the word that he used? I can't remember the right word. Meaning that they never were entirely put out, and that they always sprung up again. But of course, I, for one, can't see the present government in Israel being the one that will be used, I think. Of course, we do look for the ancient worthies where there will be a perfect man. And so these are my thoughts. I surely did enjoy all the talks and different things about them. And I do sympathize with those who have to get up these conventions. We would be very forgetful or very... I can't find the word, but I do appreciate what they do, although I've never done it myself. But I just want them to know that I appreciate and thank them for it. And to get all this together, it must be quite a blessing for them in the end, that they bring so much blessing to others. And I think that's about all. I just want to get back to a few of these these people who were given with the speakers, to get back to the bottom of some of them. Thank you all.
Thank you, sister. Brother Nicola.
You go first.
I don't usually say very much, so it's really hard for me with a microphone. But I wanted to tell you how much I appreciated all the talks and the convention here, especially the immersion service, because the last convention in Kalispell, if you remember, I was immersed. I don't take very many notes because I'm a very poor note taker, and I'm afraid I spend too much time taking notes and not listening, but I did take notes on Brother Nicora's, because we're studying the tabernacle and I have so much trouble with it that I thought if I had something to look up, that it might be a big help to me if I do that on my own. I was really happy to see so many people at the public meeting, and it was just really thrilling to see so many people come out for that. We always have public meetings, and nobody ever seems to show up, and it's always kind of disheartening. You know, you put out all the chairs, and you go through the motions, and you wait. And you know, people just don't show up. Maybe you get one or two, but it was so nice to see that many people. That was really, really enlightening. The Kalispell class, we're really sorry that we didn't have a part in it. And you can be assured that next year that we will. We really like to help, too, because just as Sister Evelyn said, that's our way of showing love to all of you. And I felt kind of bad at first when we said that we weren't going to have our convention at Sandpoint, because that's our way of showing you that we really love you, and lots of times it's hard to express our love. But we really want to take part in it here next year, and we'll come and do plenty. So, pardon me? We'll do we'll do anything you want. Like I said, that's our way that we can show our love. I think that's all I wanted to say. We really didn't have a mouse in our room.
Thank you for that information, sister.
I have a witness. Mr. Lundy, would you tell everybody there was a mouse? There was a mouse.
Yeah, better that surely not know. It's probably not fair for anybody that's a speaker to take the advantage of a testimony meeting or an echo meeting, because they get the opportunity to take a lot of your time as it is from the platform. But I don't get to Kalispell that often, and this is the first time that Nanette's been with me. So I didn't think that Nanette would take the microphone, so I thought I might share just a couple of things with you. First of all, it is the case that we were pleased that the public came out. Also pleased that it was handled in connection with the convention, because if you had gotten the 58 public out with just the Kalispell class here, that would have been a pretty empty auditorium. And if you were part of the public coming into an empty auditorium, you'd wonder what in the world is wrong, and you know, what do all the other people know that you don't know, because you're there and nobody else is. So one of the things that was rather gratifying is that you were there, and so the auditorium had kind of a filled look. One of the nice things that are associated with that is that it seems to be so easy to witness on an individual basis. Many of you have told me about the individual experiences that you had when you were there talking with people. I know that Roy, for example, had the opportunity to talk with one of the young men who had been assigned by the high school to help us. And Roy was able to say what mattered to him. Now, that's not necessarily easy to do in some other context, because, you know, we pretty much try to witness when the opportunity is there, but somehow we don't seem to either have the opportunities that they used to, or maybe we don't make the opportunities that we should. In any event, I don't find that I witness that much, except it seems in the public meeting context. The fact that they have come out from their homes and come into the auditorium, somehow now it's okay. And the fact that somebody brings me up to talk to somebody who had gone through the inside of the pyramid and walked and climbed to the top of it. I can talk to him, I can talk to somebody afterwards, and knowing that the rest of you are doing the same thing, and I know you are, is very gratifying. And I think that in all of your future public meetings, you perhaps should make some individual resolve to go up and talk to somebody in the public. Now, it's so easy to not do that. You know, because there's either somebody else that's verbally aggressive and it does a good job with it, so you let them do it. But this is the one chance, I think, that if you see somebody in the public, you can go up and say, you know, how did you like it, or did you have any questions or something? And it's okay, you see, in that context to do it. It's not as if, you know, you're intruding on them. So that kind of struck me. Brother Foss, I know, mentioned the man who sat next to me on the plane. I guess I didn't even view it as a witness experience until it was all over, because he was the one that led the conversation. He wanted to know. It's the same sort of thing about the Bible students and, you know, what do you do there at a convention, and you get onto the finances and all of these things. A young man, but yet a very sincere individual who seemed to have a very definite interest, who lives very close to where we're going to put on this talk. We're going to put it on in Downey and in Glendale the weekend before Thanksgiving. He lives very close to Downey, and I intend to look for him. He says there's no question that he's going to come. I intend to look for him and keep a contact there if he wishes it. So it's wonderful to have those kinds of experiences, all because the projectors are sitting there underneath the, you know, the airline seats, and because he wanted to talk. It's interesting to note one of the things I've been struck about this convention is that I have talked to almost everybody. Now, mind you, Terry hasn't talked with me, and I haven't talked with her, but it's all right. The convention's not over, and we sit on. And I know that Elsie Bickle has avoided me, but that's all right. I, 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 I'll get over it. But by and large, I would say that I've been struck with that at this convention, I somehow have talked to everybody. And I'm not sure that I have gotten that at other conventions before. And there's something about talking to everybody that makes a convention kind of special. And I just hope that I keep that in mind for future conventions, that I will at least try to get to talk to everybody. And it was only a case of sort of looking around to say, I think I have talked to everybody or nearly everybody. And that makes me feel kind of good inside. And I hope that I do that. And I hope, you know, I sort of commend it to you. When you get the chance to talk to everybody, the convention becomes kind of special. Interesting, when you give a talk from the platform, the kind of questions you get. I was struck with the fact that somebody mentioned the thing that struck them was the remark I had about the wave offering. Now, most of the formats of our conventions don't really allow for questions afterward. I mean, the speaker gets up, he talks for an hour, he sits down, and that's it. But there's nobody that can really give a talk without stimulating some questions, and how are they handled? Well, usually the way they're handled is somebody comes to the speaker afterwards. And that's always a very humbling kind of experience, because you think you've studied the lesson pretty thoroughly, you think you know it, and then somebody says, why do they have all those animals on the ninth chapter? They don't have near as many on the 16th, and you say to yourself, I don't have the foggiest notion, but you're afraid to say that, of course, because, you know, if you don't know, who knows? And it was interesting about the wave offering, because somebody came to me and said about the wave offering, how do you know that? And of course, if you read the ninth chapter of Leviticus, it doesn't say anything about it being. In fact, if you read it in the ninth chapter, it's like he waves it until he drops, because there's not a word that's said about it being taken off. And in that particular case, the answer, at least that satisfies me, is that in the eighth chapter, where there is also a wave offering, it does say that Moses took it off his hands. And since Moses is on the scene in the ninth chapter, we assume that the same thing took place. But the question shows, and it always sort of thrills me with these kinds of questions, that you've got a thinking mind that doesn't just accept what is said because it happens to be said with a microphone as opposed to one-on-one, but essentially says, hey, why do you say that, or how do you know that? And I think that is the kind of an attitude that we all need in any of the things that we hear, and not just assume that because somebody has gotten 75% of the vote of the congregation that somehow they now have all the answers, because all of us are the same. We study in an attempt to make our calling and election sure, and we have got to listen to the talks and apply it to ourselves and to make it our own, and the only way we can do that is to make sure that it's right. I was very much impressed with Brother Gonzewski's talks. I think they've been beautifully summarized. I was also struck with the fact that in his talk today, he did touch a little bit on the not waiting. I mean, for example, the fact that Saul, who had to do sacrificing and was waiting for Samuel, waited for what he decided was an adequate amount of time. And since the sacrifices had to go forward, he took matters into his own hands. And of course, he had no sooner finished but that Samuel shows up on the scene and demands an explanation for this. And of course, there is no explanation to give. One of the questions that had been asked me that struck me on the same illustration of not waiting had to do with the anointing of Israel with blood, when they said, all these things will we do, and they were anointed with blood, a kind of another atonement. When did that happen? Well, that happened before Moses went up to Sinai to get the tablets of the law. And they said, all these things that God had said, we will do. And then they were sprinkled with blood. Then he goes up to the mountain and he disappears for 40 days and they make the golden calf. Now, how's that for a typical example of not waiting? I mean, we've waited 30 days. We've waited 35 days. We've waited 40. How much longer are we going to wait? Clearly, he's dead. and we are never going to see him again. So they took matters into their own hands, and you can see what a terrible sin it was. So although we are all closer to the kingdom than when we first believed, I think that the lesson I'm going to take away from Brother Gondzuski's talk is how important it is to realize that it is all in the Lord's hands. And it may be another year, it may be 10 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 50 years. We don't know. And let's not make the mistake of being like maybe Noah could have been, which is to say, the rain is not going to come, let me out of the ark, and refusing to wait on the Lord. So I hope that I can remember for a long time those lessons, that it's all in the Lord's hands, and whatever time that he has for all of us here is going to be just fine with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. I think that it's only because of the special atmosphere here that I am able to stand up and talk again. I'm not that kind of person who is able to do it frequently. I think that the thing which I find very special for this convention is that it's similar to Poland. We have very frequently conventions in the country, in the building similar like that, and conditions similar like that, and I think that I like it very much in that way. I appreciate very much the fellowshipping with brethren. It's just wonderful. And I think that the idea of staying a lot of people in just one room is a very good idea. It really brings people together very much. On the first morning, we were watching the sunrise, and the sun which we saw just stayed with us. I mean, in a spiritual way, during all the convention. The fellowshipping and the discourses were just wonderful. The things which I remember most from the discourses, maybe just a few thoughts which stay in my memory very much, is the sentence that patience is bearing things with cheerfulness. I think it's very important, because sometimes I find with myself that I want to be patient, but I'm patient not in a cheerful way, which is not good. I just keep marching all over the room and being in fact impatient. So I find it really very helpful. And I find really helpful the thought that being humble means being teachable. I think it's also very, very important in the development of a Christian character. I'm very grateful to the Lord and to the Krupas for taking me here to the convention. And I think that this convention will stay for a long time in my memory.
Thank you, Sister. May the Lord be with you. Sister Foss was next.
I was so happy to see so many young people here at this convention, and people from out of the country, so to speak, the brethren, sister from Australia, and those from Canada, and I hope I don't miss anyone. But there is a blessing in testifying. After the testimony meeting was over, I was approached by the couple from Canada, Saskatchewan. And they thought they recognized me, but they weren't sure. As it turned out, my sister, Jerry Jurd, and her husband, my brother-in-law, Russell, met them on a pilgrim trip in Canada in 1978. So we had a wonderful visit. They are the parents of the young sister who was immersed and her husband. And we just had a wonderful time getting acquainted. And of course, when we left home, my sister and brother-in-law said, "Remember us to anyone who remembers us." So we are thrilled that we have these little extra blessings to take home with us for them and others. I was impressed with the baptismal service, and that's always a big, well, it's a momentous occasion for me and as everyone else. And of course, we all realize that that is when we give our complete wills up to the Heavenly Father. And I too have appreciated the talks so very much. The thought that was brought up, we cannot receive the crown of life if we don't accept the crown of thorns. And also, we can't receive it if we aren't faithful. So even though there are many things, we want to keep these little thoughts, these little gems in our minds when we go home. And they keep us going. There was another thought. How many of us will leave this convention with a burning heart instead of heartburn? I kind of chuckled over that one. And then all of us are aware of this text, but it's so meaningful. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then we are all so different. And some of us are talented. Others are much more talented. And so I appreciated the half pint is just as important to God as a full pint, as long as it's filled up. And there was a thought brought up by another brother. The law is a straight-edged stick. Now, I might have this a little off. I'm not sure. I didn't copy things verbatim. But the law is a straight-edged stick to show us the crooked places. And I like that. And my husband's favorite text, his favorite text of the whole Bible was quoted, and it says, I'll just give a part of it, I dwell in the high and holy place, which is God, with him of a contrite and humble spirit, which are the members of the body. And that is Isaiah 57:15. And another thought that was brought out, and I really was affected by this one. It is so simple and yet so true. We, all of us, are only a breath away from reaching our goal. And I want to ask an interest in your prayers, and as I pray for you. Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
I would like to speak up too for the many kind blessings that I've received, and when I don't stand up and give a testimony, I feel like I feel saddened, because I should speak forth the praises of the Heavenly Father and the kind blessings that I have. And all the talks that I heard, I got a special message out of all of them. One of them was that how we realize over in Poland and some of them countries over there where some of the truth is suppressed, you know, how the brethren have to go into hiding to fellowship and to have their meetings. And I got the thought, you know, that what if we had to do the same thing over here? We would really appreciate that much more how valuable the truth is to us. And going a step further, that it isn't suppressed here, but we should still have that same appreciation for the truth. And in another one of the talks too, where the precious hope that we have, it is so valuable and precious, and I shudder to think what we would do now if we didn't have that hope. And I got an added blessing out of all the talks, and I have a lot of things to go home and study and think about. And the fellowship has been extra special to me here this time. And I'd also like to mention too, we had a beautiful visit last night when we were in the cabin, and when Shirley did go to sleep, that's when we were visited with a little creature, and he was right at home. But anyway, I do appreciate my brethren and my Heavenly Father, and remember us, and thank you.
Thank you, brother. Let's see, over here, and then you, David.